Well, it's great being back here once again. I've been busy in other places. We are focusing on a church called Holy Cross, which is in South Scottsdale, and I'll share a little bit later what's going on there. We're also looking at North Valley Christian Academy for a mission start, a number of our things. So it's really exciting. I'll talk about that later in my sermon. But the topic for today is one that I'm not sure if anyone can relate to here. It's called burnout. Has anyone here ever felt burned out before? Maybe with your job, work, maybe a relationship, maybe financially, maybe life just crushing in many different ways. You feel like, I've just had enough. I can't take it anymore. Maybe you have trouble sleeping, you have trouble focusing, you have trouble even wanting to be around people. Ever happened to you? What about even right now? Well, today we're going to learn about a guy named Elijah. And before we talk about Elijah, I can relate to him because a lot of what he went through, I feel like I've gone through in my life too in some certain ways. I grew up in a family that struggles with depression, okay? My father's side of the family, I think every single one of his eight siblings, except for one, had depression problems. My sisters have struggled with it. There's been times when I've been on the brink of it as well. And I want to share with you, probably the last time this happened to me was towards the end of my time when I was serving at Shepherd of the Desert. And a lot of things were happening in my life, on a personal level. As far as ministry, you know, I'm a person who likes to see things growing, and for the first time after being there, the church was plateauing as far as worship attendance. I was feeling like it's my fault, that I'm to blame for this. And a number of things were just crushing in on me, and I lost the joy of being a pastor. In fact, I really felt I needed to do something else. And I couldn't sleep very well. And when you can't sleep, life gets more and more bleak. Things were just in a downward spiral for me. I'm going to stop there for now. I'm going to pick up this story after I talk about Elijah. You see, Elijah, you know, was a great prophet. In fact, you know, last week was Transfiguration, and on that mountain was Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, right? But yet, he came to a time when he really struggled. To kind of fill in the context, he had just stood up against the prophets of Baal. And really, that's another name for Satan. There was 450 prophets of Baal, and they were, you know, basically serving the devil, I guess you could say. And so they had this, I guess you could say, kind of a contest. I'm not sure the right word for it. But the prophets of Baal, they put a sacrifice on this wood, and they're calling upon their god or gods to set the wood on fire. And what happened? It didn't set on fire. So Elijah had people put water all around on the wood, around the wood, would make it very difficult for that wood to start burning. And he calls upon God to start the wood on fire to burn a sacrifice. What happens? The fire of God comes down. The sacrifice is made. And the people turn on the prophets of Baal, and ultimately, they're executed. It seems like it's very clear that the God of Israel is a true God. But what happens is word gets to Jezebel, the queen, and she sends notice to Elijah. I'm going to see to it that you're killed. You know, she's got a lot of power, and so he's fearful for his life. And he goes off into the wilderness. And he's crying out to God, God, I just want to die. I want to die. I just can't take it anymore. And so what happens? In this state, God actually intervenes. I think the same thing happens in our lives too. Let's kind of take this through his story. In fact, there's an insert in your bulletin if you want to follow along with it. Four things that happened, which kind of turned him around from being burned out and depressed to once again being fully engaged. And the first thing is to rest your body. Rest your body. In verses 5 through 8 from 1 Kings 19, it says, he lay down and fell asleep. Then the angel said, get up and eat. He ate and drank and then lay down again. Then the angel said, get up and eat again, for the journey is too much for you. So in the midst of the struggle he's having, one very important thing he needed was what? Rest. If you are not well rested, life gets dreary. And so he rests. Then an angel comes to him and says, don't just rest, but also eat. If you've ever been depressed or burned out, sometimes we may not feel like eating at all. Or maybe what you eat is not the right kind of food. But it's important to rest and to eat, to drink water. And so he does this, but now he's put on a 40-day journey. We see that 40 days a lot in scriptures. In fact, even right now we're in the 40 days of Lent. And so the second thing is to release your frustrations. First, rest your body. Secondly, release your frustrations. It says in verses 9 and 10, there he went into a cave and spent the night. God said, what are you doing here? Elijah, he replied, he goes into this tirade. You know, that the prophets are being killed and everybody's against me and the people aren't listening to your message. He just kind of just lays it out to God, just pours it out. Sometimes I think we're afraid to do that, aren't we? We think when we talk to God, we're supposed to talk in some flowery, polite language. Do you realize that God knows exactly what's going on inside you all the time? And he wants us to be honest about that. On Wednesday, in my sermon on Ash Wednesday, I talked about King David. God referred to King David as a man after what? His own heart. And you wonder, what does that mean? You look into some of the Psalms. And what you see in the Psalms is David writes these, and it's like, God, where are you? Why have you abandoned me? My life's falling apart. I feel terrible. What's wrong with you? He's shaking his fist at God. It may seem like it's disrespectful to us, but it's like God's thinking, that's my guy. I like that. I want my people to be honest with me. And so when you're feeling those frustrations, to let God know how you feel. But also be honest with yourselves. And sometimes it's really important, too, to let other people know how you feel. Don't keep things bottled up inside. It just creates a volcano that's going to blow up someday. And probably not in a good way. To release our frustrations. It says in 1 Peter 5, 7, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. God can take it. He wants us to release to him our frustrations, our challenges. And sometimes it's important for us as well to get help from other people. I'll get back to that later. The third thing, refocus on God. Refocus on God. And so he's told to go. It's Mount Moreb, but ultimately it's really Mount Sinai, where also Moses got the Ten Commandments. And there, what happens is that God puts on an amazing show. God forces him to refocus. The first thing that happens is there's a powerful wind, so powerful that rocks are actually blowing up. But the voice of God is not in the wind. And then there's this huge earthquake, and the earth is shaking, and the earth is moving, but God is not in the earthquake. Then there's this fire that burns through the area, but God is not in the fire. What is God doing? He's getting Elijah's attention. He's saying, you know what? That Jezebel is nothing compared to the power I have. You see, he's trying to get Elijah to realize that Elijah's not in charge of the universe. God's in charge. And when you put God in charge, anything is possible. And then God speaks to Elijah in the still, quiet voice. It says in Proverbs 14, 16, reverence for God gives a man deep strength. And so he sees the strength of God. And he refocuses his life on God. And then God speaks in the still, quiet voice. And the fourth thing is this, resume serving others. See, the thing is, our problems are small in comparison to the power of God. Our problems seem big to us, but to God they are minuscule. And once we realize he's in charge, and once we realize that things are under control, we're called to resume serving others. And he says to Elijah, go back the way you came, to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, Jehu, and Elisha. God said, okay, it's time to get back re-engaged again. When you're depressed, when you're down, when you're feeling burned out so often, you don't want to be around people. But one of the best things to do is force yourself to get back with people again and to serve people. When you're down, when you're depressed, when you're burned out, you focus internally. It's like a black hole. You get sucked right inside. And the best thing to do so often is to serve others, to get outside yourself. And so he goes and he anoints those kings, but he also anoints Elisha, the one he was going to mentor, the one who would follow him, a confidant who would be with him for the rest of his earthly life until he was taken straight up to heaven. It says in Galatians 6:9, "Let us not become weary of doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." To keep serving, to resume serving others. Now I want to come back to my story that I started earlier. When I was going through my difficult time, I was having a hard time sleeping. And let's be honest, sometimes if you're having a hard time sleeping, what's your mind fixated on? Problems, right? And you get fixated. And the problem seems bigger and bigger the more tired you get. I tried doing something different. Rather than fixating the problem, I was fixating on the solution, focusing on God. And sometimes I get up, if I couldn't sleep, and I write down the things I'm worried about, and I look at that list, it's like, this is nothing compared to what God can handle. And I take my thoughts from the negative things and focus on the blessings of God. And it made a huge difference. I started sleeping a lot better. When we start sleeping better and eating the right way, it's amazing how life starts feeling better. The next thing I did was I released my frustrations. I went through a very challenging time. And so I went and sought help. I went to 3 different Christian pastoral counselors because I wanted to get as much input as I could to make sure I was on the right path. And I learned so much from them about myself. And I learned so much from them, too, what I could share in my own ministry in counseling others. And sometimes it may be hard for us, especially men sometimes, we feel like, I got this, I can take care of this. Sometimes it's so important to reach out to others. If not a counselor, someone you truly trust. It just makes such a huge difference to release our frustrations to God, but to people that you trust. And sometimes maybe even a professional. The third thing, I refocused on God. In fact, I felt the Lord calling me away from serving Shepherd of the Desert. It was a great church. Things were really overall pretty fine there. I could have stayed, but it's like, you know, I felt God wanted me to leave. And so I left there. I was expecting to start my new career very quickly, but God let me experience something like Elijah. He had 40 days where he kind of went through this time of recalibrating. I went through 120 days, okay? 120 days where it was me and God, and my business was not going forward, and I was just, you know, studying Scripture, praying, and I realized for the first time since I'd become a pastor that I'm reading for me. I'm not reading for a sermon. I'm not reading for a Bible study. I'm reading for me. And my relationship with God got closer than ever before, and at the end of the 120 days, all of a sudden, then it was time to resume serving others, and the opportunities opened up all over the place for me to serve. And one place was here at St. Mark. And I served 35 pastors around the country, and God used me to help 4 churches about to close to stay open, but it was all his doing. And I just kind of watched how God orchestrated an amazing thing. And another person I met, too, was Pastor Murphy at Holy Cross. And I realized that he was struggling, and the church was struggling. So I was walking alongside of him and in his church. But in the meantime, now what has happened is that my position here has grown. And we are in partnership with Holy Cross. And I want to share with you what's happening there. You see, today was actually Pastor Murphy's last Sunday. He's now retired and on disability. And we've been able to help transition his church. And now it's starting to grow. For years of decline, it's now starting to grow again. There's more people that are in Bible study than before and seeing a lot of great things happening. Today, there's a young man who wants to become a pastor. He's preaching there. His first sermon this weekend. He preached yesterday. He's preaching today. In fact, we have 3 young men between St. Mark and Holy Cross that want to enter into the ministry. As we're doing these new ministries, God is raising up an army from within. It's like a volcano bubbling outward. which is the opposite of what happens when you're burned out. Everything goes inside. On Wednesday, I had the privilege to be at North Valley Christian Academy. And that's a place where we've been offered, they've offered us to use their facility to do a mission plant. And I saw 300 children, or young people, all the way from preschool, all the way through high school there, and their family members. I'm thinking, this is a gold mine. Beautiful facility. They want us to be there to serve them in that place. An area of our community is growing incredibly. And we're looking at doing house churches. We got people being trained for that, and there's still opportunity for you to jump on some of these teams. We have people going to be involved in nursing home ministry. We have people that are going to do online church. And just go back to house church for a second. Did you hear what Pastor Mike said last week in a sermon about what's happening in the state of America as far as Christianity? In the last 10 years, worship attendance has dropped by 12%, and that's only escalating. What's it going to take to change that? A lot of young people, a lot of people in our society, it's like, come to my church. No way. Come to my house. Okay, I'll do that. We're trying to open up all avenues to allow for the gospel to get to as many people as possible. And I can honestly say that as I'm seeing what's unfolding in our midst, what God is doing is incredible. And I'm proud of this church. I've never been so excited in ministry as I am right now. I thank you for the privilege to do this kind of work, but we're doing it together. And what I realize, the more that a church pushes out, the more it's blessed within. In our lives, the more that we push out, the more we're blessed within. When we get burned out and depressed, guess what happens? We go inside of ourselves and we become paralyzed. And God doesn't want that for us. He wants us to be living in His joy. When I was a young pastor serving in Utah, I was getting burned out in one situation. I saw this retired pastor came to our church about 80 years old, and he goes, "What's the matter, John?" I said, "I feel a bit burned out." He was very abrupt, and he said, "You know what? If you're walking closely with God, you're not going to get burned out." And at first, I took offense to what he said, but I thought about it. I realized, you know what? He's right. And so in closing, I want to challenge each one of us. Are you getting the rest that you need? Are you releasing your frustrations to people that you truly trust and have people that you're able to talk to besides God? Are you refocusing your life on God? This 40 days of Lent's a great time to make sure that we have our focus on the most important relationship of our lives in Jesus Christ, the only one who takes away our sins and opens up the way to heaven for us. He's taking care of our past, our present, our future. And He has all power and authority to help us through any challenge we ever face. Are we refocused on Him? And are we ready to resume if we've backed off serving others? And who are those others that God puts into our lives to reach out to them, to serve them, and to have that opportunity to show them the love of Jesus Christ? I pray these four words will be very prevalent as we go forth and if we start experiencing burnout or depression. We think about these words. Rest, release, refocus, and resume. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank and praise You for Your amazing love for us. We thank You for the example we see in Elijah. And sometimes we may feel like Elijah. But from Your Word, we learn the importance of getting the right rest for our body. To be able to release our frustrations, not hold them within. To keep our focus on You, Lord God, at all times. And to always resume serving others. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen.